We have a deacon here in God's church, Mr. Dave Hull.
I have a short story I want to share with you about four people whose names were everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job to do it. Everybody thought anybody could do it. Nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Now, this is a cute and convoluted story that makes a point. Somebody must get the job done. Now, hear another story about these same four people. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. God is offering the right to become the children of God. He is offering eternal life to everybody and anybody. We read over in John, in the first chapter, that But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. We also read later on where John recorded Jesus' words, and it says, where Jesus says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So the offering is to everybody and anybody. Nobody will be left out of having this offer. Christ goes on to say in that same chapter, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All somebody has to do is believe in him. Believe that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior and believe that he is the living Son of God. And do the truth. This is what Christ says in chapter 3, verse 21. God offers this beautiful truth to everybody and anybody. Nobody is going to be left out. God loves his created ones. To him, we each are somebody who he is calling now at this time, in this generation, and in this age of time. Are you somebody who is answering his call? In this message, my purpose is to remind us how special our calling is, and that we must do something in answering this awesome opportunity. Yes, our calling is special. We are somebody God has tapped on the shoulder now, in this generation and in this time, in the age. But we must take heed. Our calling is now, and it's not just for anybody. Take heed, Christ says. He says, take heed and watch and pray. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it, is what we read over in Colossians. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. It is our lot to watch and pray because Jesus Christ told us in Mark, take heed, watch, and pray. Turn with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 8, I'm going to break into the parable of the wedding feast. And notice in verse 8 of chapter 22 in Matthew, breaking into the parable, in verse 8 it reads, then he said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So that those servants went out and into the highways, and gathered together all who they could find, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Notice in verse 8, those who were invited to the feast were not worthy. And notice in verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody will have an opportunity for eternal life, But not just anybody will be able to attend the wedding feast. Only a few who are chosen will be somebody allowed this awesome blessing. Turn with me back to chapter 13 of Matthew. Chapter 13 of Matthew. Chapter 13 of Matthew, and reading in verse 44 through 46. Chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells what he has and buys that field. In verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Yes, the parable of the treasure hidden in a field and the pearl of great price are very special to us. Are we somebody who seeks the kingdom of heaven? Is it like a treasure hidden in a field? Is it truly a treasure to us? Are we willing to sell everything we have for that great pearl of price? Nobody who is not worthy will be given a wedding garment. How special is the kingdom of God to you? How special is eternal life? Are you willing to sell all for your great pearl of price? Our calling requires that somebody must do something. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. A very worn out scripture, but one we must take heed and pay attention to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're not just going after the pearl of great price, but also his righteousness. Now, if you will, turn back to John chapter 3, verse 21. John chapter 3, verse 21. There is something that we must be doing. Christ says in John 3, verse 21, he says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So somebody, there must be somebody, and that somebody must be doing something. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we learn in 1 Peter chapter 1, we might as well turn over there. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we learn from what Peter is telling us to gird up the loins of our minds. To gird up the loins of our minds. Focus and rest our hope fully upon the grace through Jesus Christ. Right, our salvation is by grace. But when we have that grace and our faith is shown by our works and that we walk in that grace, or we are thankful for that grace and we walk with thanksgiving by obeying God, which we'll learn here in just another verse or two. But in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Holy in all of our conduct. Be holy as he is holy. And if you will, turn over to chapter 4 of that same book, 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. So we see that we should be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we see that we should be doing something by being holy, by being obedient. And one other thing, very important, that we should have fervent love for one another. Fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Somebody is being called for his purpose now. Not just anybody. For many are called, but few are chosen. Oh, everybody will have his personal call to salvation. Nobody will be left out. But as the story goes, somebody must get the work done. Are we that somebody who are diligent to make his calling and his election certain, sure? Are we serious, watchful, praying always, thy kingdom come, and having fervent love for one another? Let us take heed to what Christ said. He said, take heed, watch, and pray.